Hey there, adventurers! Get those headphones adjusted, immerse yourself in fantasy, and roll the intro. Chapter 3. The Fangs of Coolness. With the war over, Volan was free to continue his work in Udesh. Volan originally came to Udesh in search of something called a Book of Dragons. These tombs are said to be written by only the oldest and most wise of all dragons that inhabited Vora. It is said that only 5 ancient dragons are alive at once, and these said Book of Dragons are told to hold all the ancient dragons' secrets and knowledge. No one has ever seen or read from one of these books due to the fact that you would have to find a way to take it from one of the 5 ancient dragons, which would be suicide for the majority of the mortal population. If someone could ever find one of these books and actually be able to decipher the text, they could ascend to the power of an ancient dragon. But these books of dragons are said to be only a myth until Volwyn was provided with information that the books are real from someone he trusts wholeheartedly, his goddess, Lolth. The gods were cast out from this world by the dragons a long time ago. Many people on Vora believed that was the cause of the great calamity that happened 8,000 years ago. Before the great calamity, the gods walked the world of Vora as if they were mortal beings, sometimes showing up as a wise old man, or a child that was always causing trouble around a city. Others walked in their true forms, and acted as rulers, or simply just as gods that people would pray to at their rightful temples. Vora was a different place before the Great Calamity, and after the world-changing event, only the dragons remained, and took the mantle of gods. For the real gods were nowhere to be seen or heard from until now. Volan was packing up his belongings from his room that served as his home for the past few years as he played his part in the civil war between the Republic of Udesh and the rebellion uprising known as the Greycoats. Gathering all of his belongings into his pouch of holding, Volan set the room key down on the kitchen table and left. Volan had planned to meet with his contact this evening to find out more about this cult. But before that, Volan needed to speak with Othrex. Entering into the large room that was used as Othrex's living quarters, Volan saw the large black dragon tearing into a piece of meat.
Good evening, Othrex. Having your last meal provided by the Republic, are we?
Yes, master. I figure it's better than letting it go to waste.
Very well, then. Once you're finished, I have a task for you. I need you to go to Wargora and seek out a hag named Beatrice. Last I heard, she was living up in some old ruins in the Featherfall Kingdom that lie to the north at the base of a mountain range. Seek her out and give her this scroll. I've written down a contract that will require a minimum of 3 hags, if not more. If she gives you any trouble, show her your power, but try your best not to kill her. She is the only hag in Wargora that I know a rough idea of where she is living. Though there are other hags in Wargora, finding them might take some time, and I'd rather not have to deal with that.
Othrex waved his giant claw and the scroll disappeared.
It will be done, master. I will leave right away.
Very good. I will meet you in the Fall Hollow Swamps once I am finished here, Volwyn said, turning and walking towards the exit.
With one more bite of meat, Othrex extended his large wings. Pushing off the ground, he beat his wings hard and was on his way to Wargora.
Evening time in the capital of Udesh is always busy no matter what day it is. The Traw is known for having some of the best of everything. Restaurants,
clothes, theater, whatever it is, Latral has it. Large skyscrapers fill the middle of the city that light up with illusionary spells to advertise the latest theater show playing. Don't let all the glamour and bright lights fool you. Latral's alleyways and back streets are filled with crime. Volan took advantage of crime syndicates in the city while he was here. Believing them to be beneath him, Volan saw these crime syndicates to be necessary in pursuing his goals. The man that Volan set out this evening to meet was named Victor Everlast. Victor was a man that valued information over everything else. If you need information on anything, or anyone, you go to Victor. With his hands in about every major and minor crime syndicate, there wasn't much Victor didn't know. He was also very knowledgeable on ancient magical artifacts, especially the ones of Udesh. Of course, having a reputation as such caught Volwyn's attention, naturally. Leaving the Republican Tower for the last time, Volwyn pulled up his hood to hide his face from any onwatchers. Would have seemed that Volwyn's plan had not caught the attention of anyone yet. Volwyn was still cautious when it came to revealing his plans to anyone he deals with. Passing through the streets of Latral, Volwyn wondered,
how will these fangs of coolness react to what I ask of them? What kind of willpower do the members of the cult have? Would they die for what they believe in, or run like cowards in the face of death? Are the members even strong enough to take on the task I may ask of them?
Questions like these flooded Volwyn's thoughts as he passed by a large theater. It was lit up as if it was daytime. A large banner hung with the title of the play that was being performed tonight. "The Owlbear's Defense," read the banner. A long line was formed at the entrance of the venue. Volwyn thought it must be worth seeing if you were into that kind of thing. Volwyn was not. The walk to meeting Victor from the Republican Tower took quite some time. Would have been faster to take the lightning rail, but Volwyn felt the need to stretch his legs this evening. Roughly an hour later, Volwyn finally reached his destination, the Tilted Tankard. This was Victor's home away from home. Victor's private booth was on the second floor and looked over the entire tavern's first floor, where the main patrons would gather to have their drinks and listen to bards play their tunes. Walking up the three steps that led to the double swinging doors, Volwyn entered. Glancing up to make sure Victor was indeed here, the two made eye contact. Lifting his right arm, Victor made a gesture to Volwyn to have Volwyn join him. As Volwyn moved to the stairs that led to Victor's private booth, two of Victor's guards stopped him. Victor shouted, "He's got an appointment, boys. Let him through." The two guards stepped aside, allowing Volwyn to start his ascent up the stairs. As Volwyn approached the table, Victor greeted him with a smile. "Welcome, my friend. May I get you something to drink?"
"Red wine, if you please,"
Volwyn said, sitting down across from Victor and pulling down his hood. Victor snapped his fingers to summon a waitress. "Miss, please bring us a bottle of Delamore Vintage." Victor pulled out a platinum piece and handed it to the waitress. She hurried off to retrieve the bottle of wine, shortly after returning with two glasses and a dark, dusty bottle. She opened it, set it down on the table with the two glasses, turned, and walked away. Victor poured the dark red wine into the glasses. Sitting back and swirling the red liquid in his glass, Victor took a sip. "How was the war? You still look to be in one piece."
"It wasn't too bad. Some could have called it fun. The Greycoats didn't stand a chance against the size of the Republicans' military. The last siege only took an hour, roughly."
Volwyn took a drink of his wine. "Well, I must say, war is good for business. Business is good. How's the wine? In all of our meetings, you never drink when I offer. What's changed?" Victor said, eyeing Volwyn carefully. Volwyn lifted the glass up to eye level and gave it a swirl. A brief moment passed before he spoke.
"You're very observant, Victor." It's a good trait to have that most do not.
Victor gave a nervous laugh. Well, yes. Being observant is practically what I do.
Volan took another sip of his wine and lowered his glass.
The wine is delicious. I don't believe it's elvish. Would I be correct in guessing human-made? As for why I said yes to a drink, it's because I am celebrating.
There was a pause before Victor continued.
Correct you are, Volan.
Comes from a small vineyard from Bacada.
Victor thought it best not to ask what Volan was celebrating. His first thought was because the war was over, but Victor knew not to pry too far into the drow's business. Victor continued.
I suspect that my letter made it to you without any issues.
Yes, it did. Thank you for looking into that. Here is what I promised you.
Volan pulled out 10 platinum pieces and set them on the table.
So let's start with their name and the location.
Volan said as he poured another glass of wine for himself.
I found them in the city of Bahaset. I believe you're familiar with the city, yes?
I am.
They call themselves the Fangs of Coolness. From what I have found on the cult, which is not much, is that the origins go back far. And I mean far, far.
Do you know how far back?
Volan asked.
I believe roughly 5,000 years after the Calamity, of course.
Victor paused to take a drink of wine.
That was back when the pyramids of Udesh were starting to be constructed, if I remember correctly.
You are indeed correct. They seem to be a fairly large organization as well. Not sure of the exact numbers, but I know it's at least in the thousands, but no bigger than 10,000 strong. They seem to worship some ancient pharaoh that was named Pula'a-Kulnas. They believe him to be an actual god, one of the only surviving gods after the Great Calamity. So they say. Legend says that this Pula'a-Kulnas guy ruled over all of Udesh, and was the longest ruling pharaoh and the only pharaoh that ruled over the entire continent. Then, one day, Pula'a-Kulnas was killed somehow. Some say it was one of the ancient dragons that did it, some say it was an illness, and others say gods came to strike down this Kulnas guy. Volan sat back in his chair and rubbed his smooth chin, taking in all the information and breaking it down piece by piece.
It would seem, Victor, that you have found me a cult that would work perfectly. As I believe, the item I am searching for is in one of the pyramids scattered across Udesh.
You did mention that, so that helped me narrow down some good choices.
You told me to give this to you when I saw you again. It's a meeting location. Haven't taken a look at it, as that's need-to-know information that I do not need to know.
Victor sat back in his chair and finished the rest of his wine in his glass.
Volan tucked away the scroll in his pouch of holding and stood up. Bringing the hood of his cloak over his long white hair, Volan turned to Victor.
I appreciate the information. Not sure if our paths will cross again. I don't compliment many. Those I do are far and few. Keep to your code, Victor. It's been a pleasure.
With that, Volan turned and left the tilted tankard. Victor was left speechless. After a moment, a smile broke across his face.
Well, I would have never expected that.
Huh. Goodbye, my drow friend, Victor said under his breath. Victor took Volan's words to heart, standing at the railing of his private booth and looking over the crowd of people enjoying their drinks and playing card games. That would be the last time Victor and Volan would ever do business together.
Leaving the tilted tankard, Volan headed straight for the airship port. With wrapping up the last order of business in Latra, Volan did not need to stay here any longer. It was growing late into the night at this point. Passing by street food vendors, the smell of delicious food that were coming from them made Volwyn's stomach growl with hunger. Volwyn's pace slowed to a stop when he passed one street vendor that caught his eye. Approaching the old human female behind the cart, Volwyn looked over the menu. A kebab stand that specialized in a variety of different grilled meats that were laid over a bed of rice. Volwyn ordered.
I'll take 3 orders of the lamb over rice.
He paused. Volwyn didn't realize until now that he hasn't eaten since before the final siege.
Also, I would like 3 orders of beef and 3 orders of chicken as well.
Volwyn started to pull out 2 gold pieces. The old lady spoke.
Would you like those over rice as well?
Yes. How much will that be?
5 silver pieces, please.
Volwyn handed over a gold piece.
Keep the change.
The old lady bowed and thanks and started to get to work on his order. As she did, Volwyn took a seat and watched all the people passing by.
Most seem to be drunk or on some sort of other drug. Easy enough to find whatever you'll be looking for down here. Just gotta know the right people,
Volwyn pondered. A few moments went by as Volwyn waited patiently for his food. The next airship wouldn't be leaving for another few hours, so he had time. Eventually, the old lady brought out Volwyn's meal for 3. Setting down each plate of steaming lamb, beef, chicken, and rice, Volwyn started to eat the delicious meal before him. He ate all of it, and with the last bite of rice, Volwyn sat back in his chair and rubbed his now bulging stomach. Looking up into the night sky, Volwyn figured he should make his way to the airship port. 30-minute walk passed as Volwyn reached the airship port. Finding the nearest ticket booth, Volwyn headed towards it. There was no line currently, due to the time. Most people seemed to prefer to travel during the day. Volwyn preferred this over having to be on a busy airship with people he did not care to be around.
Good evening, sir. Where are you looking to fly to? The man working the ticket booth asked.
Bahasat, Volwyn replied.
All right, let me see here. One ticket to Baja Set. That'll be 2 gold pieces, and the ship leaves in 40 minutes. Will that one work?
Yes, that will do just fine,
Volwyn said, handing over the 2 gold pieces to the ticket booth man.
Thank you, sir. Here's your ticket. You'll be flying out of Port 13. Have a nice flight.
The ticket booth man handed Volwyn a slip of paper and a single hole punched through it. Volwyn started down the pathway that led him to Port 13. Arriving at the port not 10 minutes later, a few other passengers were starting to board the airship. Volwyn fell into line and couldn't help but to wish that he would have waited to send Othrex away on his mission at a later date. Having to stand in line and wait to board an airship was like slitting Volwyn's wrists with a butter knife. But eventually, Volwyn was on board of the airship and found a spot on the top deck near the front of the ship, sat down, and started to meditate. The airship that Volwyn took to Baja Set landed midday. Departing from the airship port in Baja Set was a weight lifted off of Volwyn's shoulders. Airships were much too slow for Volwyn's patience, but nevertheless, he was here. It was time to find this meeting location that these Fangs of Coolness instructed him to go to. The note that Victor gave him said that they would meet in the Dusty Bottle Tavern. Volwyn assumed that this was only one of the first meeting locations. At least, Volwyn hoped. If the cult was to plan an open meeting in a tavern about this, there was no hope for them in succeeding in Volwyn's request. Leaving the port, Volwyn headed to the meeting location, as there was no specific time in the note for him to meet there with the cult. Walking through the doors of the Dusty Bottle Tavern, Volwyn quickly scanned the room, not slowing his pace towards the bar. Volwyn spotted 2 individuals that were wearing red scarves that kept their face hidden.
What could I get for you?
Asked the bartender, a dirty, blonde-haired, middle-aged human male.
Do you have any red wine? Preferably elven-made.
I believe we do. Let me see what I got in the back for you, and I'll be right with you.
The bartender walked back behind the bar and disappeared. A moment later, the bartender returned and poured Volwyn a glass of wine.
That'll be 5 silver pieces.
Volwyn handed the man. Volan handed the man 5 silver coins and sat down to enjoy his wine. It was good wine, but not as good as the wine that he shared with Victor. The two men wearing the red scarfs were eyeing Volan suspiciously as he drank his wine. Volan already knew that these were probably the men he needed to meet with. Volan thought they didn't look like much, but at least he knew that the colt was smart enough to have lackeys wait for him instead of the leader. Finishing his wine, Volan headed to the table with the men wearing the red scarves.
"I am V, the one who called for an audience with your masters."
The two men gave each other a quick glance before one spoke.
"Aye, we can see that. Not many drow just walk around in public as you do. We can take you to him once you're ready to go."
"No better time than now," Volan said.
The two men finished their ales in one go, stood up, and led Volan out of the tavern. Volan thought the men were going to take him straight to the leader of their cult, but instead they used a bunch of back alleys and side streets. Volan figured that the men were doing this in hope of confusing Volan on the way to their cult's hideout. Volan thought to himself,
"They are being careful. That is one good sign so far, but I will remember how to get back to their hideout. I am not fooled so easily."
After a few more turns and twists, the men brought Volan to a large 2-story building that was in the middle of a warehouse district. The building was surrounded by other buildings that varied from single-story to 3-story buildings. Warehouses surrounded the cluster of buildings, and the architecture of the buildings were all completely the same, making it easy to get the buildings confused to a normal person. One of the men wearing the red scarves knocked on the front door with a specific rhythm. Volan picked up on it right away. The door unlocked and then swung open, revealing a large room that the men led Volan into.
"Right this way," one of the men said to Volan, gesturing to an elevator.
The three of them entered the elevator. As the elevator started to move down slowly, which slightly surprised Volan, after a moment, the doors opened.
"Well, after you," one of the men said to Volan.
Stepping out into a large rectangular room, Volan saw a blue-scaled dragonborn sitting at a large circular table. As Volan approached, the blue dragonborn spoke.
"At last, we finally meet. I was beginning to start to think that you weren't going to show at all. Please, sit down. Can I get you anything to drink?"
"No, I am fine. I had business to finish in Latra before coming to Baja Set," Volan said.
"Well, now that you're here, we can discuss what you ask of us. My name is Malachi, and I am the leader of the Fangs of Coolness. Victor informed me that you are looking for an ancient book of some kind, one that is supposed to have a cover that is made of gold, if I am not mistaken."
The Dragonborn grabbed a cigarette and brought it up to his mouth. With a snap of his fingers, a flame was produced and he lit the cigarette.
"That is correct. It will be very hard to miss, as I am sure this book is one of a kind. I do not have the knowledge of its exact location, but I have been told that it is in one of the ancient pyramids of Udesh. One that sits atop a large mesa, to be specific. I am not familiar with the pyramids, as I am not from here, and my time spent on this continent has been on the battlefield."
Volan paused for a moment and waited for a response from Malachi. Malachi took a long drag from his cigarette and rubbed his chin, as if he was thinking about what Volan just told him.
"I believe I may know this pyramid you seek. There are only a handful of pyramids in Udesh, of which you speak of."
Malachi took another drag from his cigarette.
"If this book is as rare as you claim it to be, then I think I even know which pyramid it would be in. At least a good probability. Are you familiar with the ancient pharaoh of Udesh named Pulalakunas?" "Victor gave me a little insight on the pharaoh, but that's it," Volan said. "He was said to be the greatest pharaoh that ever ruled over Udesh. the only one that ruled over the whole continent and was worshipped as a god. A trait of Pulau Coolness was he fantasized over the unknown. Rather that being a rare object or rare knowledge, Pulau Coolness was eager, searching for these things throughout his entire life. Towards the end of his rule, Pulau Coolness built a giant pyramid that he would one day be buried in. Volwyn sat there, taking in all of Malachi's words. The pyramid was said to be constructed on a large mesa, and if anyone ever found this golden book you speak of, it would be Pulau Coolness.
Malachi took one last drag from his cigarette before putting it out in an ashtray. Volwyn thought for a moment before speaking.
So, do you think you can retrieve this book for me then?
I believe we can. You see, V, the actual location of this pyramid and even the story of Pulau Coolness is said to be just a myth.
Volwyn scowled.
So, if the pharaoh is just a myth, then do you have any evidence that the pyramid is real?
Malachi stretched out both of his arms.
We are the proof. The Fangs of Coolness roots go all the way back to when Pulau Coolness was ruling. We were his honor guard. We would have not survived this long without proof that Pulau Coolness was indeed real.
So if you all believe in the stories, should I assume that you know the location of his resting place?
You shouldn't, because we don't. We have been working on finding an ancient map that will lead us to the location of Pulau Coolness's tomb, but we have not found it just yet. Last week, one of our spies did inform us that a famous architect that has recently found an ancient map leading to a pyramid that no one has ever found yet. Once she returns back to Baha Set, we shall retrieve the map from her to see if that's one we need.
And if it's not?
Volwyn asked.
We will continue our search. I must ask, is there a rush for you to acquire this book?
Not in particularly, but the sooner the better.
Malachi stood up.
If your book is in Pulau Coolness's tomb, we'll find it. A fee for something like this will be quite large. I would say 10,000 gold pieces should do. Are you willing to pay that?
Volwyn stood up as Malachi did.
I will pay you half now and the other half when the book is in my hands. I believe that's a fair agreement, wouldn't you?
Most indefinitely. Here is a contract that I've written up. If I could just get you to sign at the bottom and the 5,000 gold, we have a deal.
Volwyn read over the contract and then signed the letter V at the bottom, then handed over the 5,000 gold. Volwyn turned to leave towards the elevator, but stopped and looked over his shoulder at Malachi.
If you or anyone in this cult tries to mislead me in any way or tries to keep the book after finding it, the Fangs of Coolness will be reduced to sand and never heard from again.
Before Malachi could respond, Volwyn entered into the elevator and left the Fangs of Coolness hideout.